This podcast episode is dedicated to empowering sensitive people to recognize their trait as sensory intelligence
and bring their unique gifts into service for the crucial roles we play in communities, businesses, and leadership globally. I'm Julie Bieland, sensitivity expert, psychotherapist, and founder of the online Sensitive Empowerment Community.
I'm Willow McIntosh, founder of Inluminance and leader of the High Sensory Intelligence Movement. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome, everyone. Today, we're going to talk about why the world really needs you to thrive. So, hello, Willow.
Hey, Julie. Great to be here. Great topic.
Yeah. I'm excited. I know you're going to be passionate about this topic too, because I know that you're passionate about this as well. Just the concept that I just have this feeling that the world needs more HSPs to start thriving, to step into the roles that we're really called to do. And I think that it's been interesting. And for some of you, if you haven't heard the word light worker before, I want you to just imagine it's people who feel this enormous pull towards helping others and or helping the world in some way. And I absolutely feel like we need that right now. Are you feeling that, Willow?
Yes, absolutely. I really do. And I love your description of a light worker there. And that's a term that I refer to a lot and often feel that there is a real correlation between HSPs and light workers. That certainly seems a real reality for me.
Yes, it is. Isn't it amazing? I mean, absolutely. I think that I would probably guess that people that feel that way are probably HSPs. And I just think that I guess I'm coming from a place of, I know you and I have both worked with HSPs for a long time, and we see the potential and we see the value in this trait. And I want to have a conversation about how can we really find that ability to be balanced and productive and healthy right now so that we can step into these important roles. I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, I think there's a lot of HSPs in roles in the medical field, mental health, education, healing, caregiving, animals. I think that there's a lot of HSPs in these roles, and I know that many people are feeling weighted down right now by everything that's going on. And I just want to talk about, like, how can we take care of ourselves in the ways that will really lead us into a place of balance and thriving so that we can go out into the world and do what is needed. And I would love to see more HSPs stepping in roles like lawmaking and policy and corporations, leadership, things that I think that HSPs have qualities that are so needed. There's this empathy and intuitiveness and this ability to see big pictures, to be able to put really valuable teams together, to really help people in the world and on a big scale. And it's been my mission for a long time. I just have this thought, like, whenever I think about how am I helping the world, I always go into the place that I know I'm helping the world when I've lifted an HSP up to rise up into their potential.
Wow, I love that. Yes, absolutely. And I love how you've positioned this topic, because it really is so important for us to really get this as HSPs and to continually tune into and remind ourselves of our importance in the world for all the reasons that you've just said there, Julie. And I think it really starts there. And it's a piece that we often come to, and I think it's so important to reiterate this. You know, as being in the world as an HSP, we have to start with the gifts. We have to start with the abilities that we have, the responsibilities that we have to utilize our higher sensory abilities. And by that, I mean what you just said there, Julie, about higher empathy, higher intuition, higher creativity, higher visionary abilities. Because we're processing more deeply, we have this sphere almost of sensory awareness that helps us to be so effective in leadership, and it helps us to be so effective in teams, in the work that we're doing, creating new ideas, in really pioneering new ways of thinking, whether that's in products and services or it is, you know, ways of pioneering leadership and helping us to come together as a global community. And so, you know, coming from that place first makes so much more sense as when it comes to working with the challenges and self-care and when things are hard for us, because, you know, we do have to take care of a self-care regimen more, you know, we have to really sort of focus to make sure we're getting that piece right. But unless we're really owning what we're here to do and the wonderful benefits that the gift, the trait brings us, you know, it's got to be that first, and then we think, okay, you know, I need to look after myself because I have this amazing responsibility in the world.
Oh, yes. I love that so much, Willow. We need to look after ourselves because we have an amazing responsibility in the world. I had to repeat that because I love that so much. And Micah and the community, we're live in the Sensitive Empowerment community right now. And I just want to make a quick comment about what Micah said. So said it takes a brave HSP to get into today's current politics, or perhaps a tribe of us. And I like how you said a tribe of us. And I want to make a point about that, because I think that, you know, there are so many important roles to be in. And that may mean being at the front lines, or it may mean being behind the scenes. But the people behind the scenes are just as important, if not more so. And I think that it is just so important to talk about how do we get ourselves into those places. Because I know, I kind of feel like, and I know speaking from experience as an HSP pre-tools, pre-knowing what is the right type of self-care for me, I never would have imagined I could be, you know, excuse me, in like some sort of a leadership role in my community. Because I felt like I was barely getting through the day myself before I understood how to take care of myself. So I think that there is this, I think there's so many HSPs walking around in the world with such incredible value, but we've been given the wrong information about how to take care of ourselves, how to take care of someone having a sensitive nervous system in a world that's not set up for sensitive people. So that's the piece that I want to kind of touch on a little bit today. I want to do a combination of really inspiring people out there to know that, Willow and I have shared so many stories in all these different podcast episodes about our own challenges in our past and about how we overcame them and about the tools that we use. But I really want to talk about this in a way that is inspiring to people to recognize that if you take care of yourself in the right ways, and that is not what we've been taught, what the 80% are doing without this trait, we have to do it in the way that works for us.
Yeah, absolutely right. I couldn't agree more. And it's when we really start to learn how we are of the most productive for ourselves in our own way, then the self-care piece really falls into place. So, you know, as a kind of an example of that, you know, I do a great deal of facilitation work with HSPs, and I present a lot online, and I create videos, and I obviously have one-to-one sessions as well. And what I found is that I've, through the practice and coming into the awareness of my ability to facilitate people, I know that that's where my gold is. That's where I'm of the best service in supporting people to really own who they are as HSPs. And so my self-care is all around making sure that I can do those pieces to the best of my ability. And what's so important is when we compare ourselves to the other 80%, or we try to work in the same way, trying to get as much done, or, you know, try to copy the way they do things, it doesn't work for us. We have to find our own unique way of living and looking after ourselves on a day-to-day basis that's in alignment with how we work. Like, it doesn't work for me to do back-to-back one-to-one sessions like on a 70 or 80 hour week. I would be exhausted and I'd be useless, and the quality of my sessions wouldn't be very good at all. So what I do is I do very focused pieces of work to a very, very high quality that get the results for myself and for my clients that I'm looking for. And between that, there's a lot of rest. So I've learned how to really work to my own benefit and what's unique to me to really honor the gift that I have, rather than trying to make myself work and fit in like the other 80%.
Yeah, neither one of us would be doing what we're doing right now if we hadn't gotten that piece right, what keeps us in balance. And I think that I even like to look at things on a really broad scale too, because that's just what my brain does, is to think about like, how do we shift the way things are done? And I really believe it's HSPs that are going to be out there making those shifts. You know, I think about the way that people in the medical field right now, and in the mental health field, for example, and even teachers, everything that's going on with this pandemic. And I know how burned out everyone is getting, and stress is taking over. And, you know, you can just see it with what people are talking about. And I think that there is a general thing that we need to shift. We need to move away from a society that thinks that that it's a good thing to push and push and push and push ourselves in situations where people are not taking breaks, where they're completely getting burnt out, where somehow society has taught us that we have to, that production looks like, you know, being able to be productive looks like push and push and push until you collapse. And that is not going to work. And what we've been really, I think, trying to teach, you know, in our conversations is this concept of that if we understand our experience, understand that the way that we take in information is, you know, we're taking in more information, the way that we process, the way that we get more details and information is like, I was even thinking, like my mom was talking about how she had a appointment with a nurse practitioner a couple of days ago. And the way she was describing this nurse practitioner, I was absolutely sure she must have been an HSP. She was so on top of things. She made my mom feel really comfortable. She went over so many details and gave so many good ideas. And there was just a quality of care that was so high. And there was a part of me that knew that was coming from an HSP. I know for myself, I would want a medical professional to be an HSP because you've got this incredible level of awareness. But we cannot have a society where, I mean, I even remember when I was in school many, many years ago, I had thought about being a doctor, for example. I was interested in the healing professions in general, but I was like, I don't think I could do it because they make doctors stay up for, you know, 48-hour shifts and this crazy training. And it's like, we're missing out on such valuable people by having our society be set up this way. What do you think, Willow?
Yeah, I think that's really true. Absolutely. Yes. And I, you know, again, it's so important for us to recognize the type of roles and how to be of the best service that we can in those roles as HSPs. So, you know, we do make amazing healthcare professionals. We make amazing doctors for the great reasons that you just gave there, Julie, because of our level of awareness and our intuition, especially our high empathy levels. So, however, you know, within each role that we choose, we have to understand that we bring something special to that role. So rather than looking at it that, you know, I bring my best to that role by doing, constant work and I don't break, you know, I don't have a break and I just keep moving along. That's not what we're here to do. We're here to sit on a slightly higher level of awareness and look intelligently to see what needs to be done here, what needs to be said there, what's the aligned action that I can take, how can I improve the situation, how can I lead, how can I be of service. So it's working intelligently in alignment with our high sensory intelligence, rather than just trying to be like everyone else. And I think when we make that conscious shift and we understand what our value is in these roles, we can then find ways of working that suit us better, whether it means having a conversation with our boss to say, you know, these are the areas that I can really excel at. It's going, you know, and I do need an hour of complete silence at lunchtime or whatever it is, and I need, you know, a quarter of an hour breaks in complete silence. You know, this is my self-care, but you know, the reason I'm so good at what I do is because I have to, you know, because I have these self-care breaks and I'm honoring my kind of my level of awareness or however it needs to be said. So it's, you know, it's kind of honoring these pieces in our roles, which I think is such an important shift for us.
Yes, exactly. Honoring it. And, you know, just It's so important to think about how do we really care for ourselves in a way that can make us the strongest version of ourselves. Because, and what's so amazing, I mean, I am seeing a lot of resiliency in HSPs, I think because so many of us have had to develop tools to function well, being so highly sensitive. But, you know, there are a lot of things have to be done differently. If you're a mental health professional and you have a private practice or something, I think about, you know, I often advocate that an HSP therapist should charge more and see less clients. That would be an example of how you would do things differently, because your value is so high. And when you're working with a client, when you're at your best self, you are giving that client such incredible value. And if you are working with a client when you're burnt out because you've seen too many clients during the day, your light is dimmed, and you're not going to be as valuable and effective as you can be. So there's shifts that need to be made. And if anybody is a CEO or something working in a corporation right now, please listen to this too, that there is so much value you can get out of an HSP employee if you are doing the right things for really helping them be their best. And that really is anybody in any kind of a role where you have employees. Think about how you can be able to offer them the kind of environment that they need to thrive at their highest self. And so HSPs need to really advocate for those things. And there needs to be a shift, because this is such an incredibly valuable set of people out there that have a lot to give, but we have to change the way we're doing things.
Yeah, I love that. Yes, I love what you said there about, as HSPs, we see less clients, but we charge more. That's such a great way of looking at it, because we are specialists in particular areas. And it's that frame of mind that will start to create this shift in terms of how we work to look after ourselves and how we can be of best service in the world. And also, yes, creating the awareness in the workplace that CEOs and, you know, owners of companies have a huge untapped resource within their companies. And for us as HSPs to rally together and start to talk to each other and find the other HSPs in a company or in the workplace, and start to hang out and start to, you know, find out how you can support each other. I was having a conversation recently with a lady who specializes in setting up big teams, big customer service teams across big industries where they have huge call centers. And she's an HSP herself, and she's very aware that the HSP call center staff are super good at what they do. And that's a great example of actually how the HSPs within the community of that staff, of that network within the companies can actually get together. And there's an opportunity right there for the owners of the companies to say, okay, so these HSP call center staff are really good at this particular job. So let's give them the customers that need that extra level of care, or perhaps they're having extra difficulties, or they need someone to kind of look under to see when someone's really upset, what the real problem is, and to utilize that and perhaps reduce their hours, but understand that the level of work they're doing is at that greater levels. And again, it's a way of really making use of this resource that are in companies and organizations all over the world.
Yes, I love that. Making use of the resources, being aware of how you can do that. Oh my gosh, so important. I know Willow and I, we've been talking about how can we help more in these areas. So reach out to us if you want ideas, if you want us to help you in your company, for example. I mean, we have so many ideas that can really help you get your HSP employees into roles that are going to help everyone in that company. I mean, and I want to talk a little bit too about what is thriving even, because I know before I was thriving, I didn't even know what thriving really looked like. Did you, Willow?
So that's a really good piece. Go on. Carry on. Yes.
Yeah. So I want to just talk about a little bit about what it looks like. So when you're thriving, you've got more energy, you're using your gifts to contribute to the world, you can follow your ambitions, you understand love and res- and accept yourself. You feel confident and secure. You know your value. You can live in balance. I mean, there's so many things to say about this that you know about Tool. You can create and use tools that help you reduce overwhelm and anxiety. I mean, that is not something, there is no point at which anybody gets to a point where it's like, oh, I'm no longer, you know, impacted by stress anymore or anything that's going on around me. That's not how people thrive. They thrive because they are able to recognize that they need to use a particular type of tool, or they need to create a certain kinds of self-care routine to be at their best. This is the step. And when it excites me because HSPs, when they get these steps right, oh my gosh, the potential is limitless about what they can go and do in the world. I mean, you're healthier. You can really learn how to balance and support your sensitive nervous system. And that's certainly something I had to learn. I am born with an incredibly sensitive nervous system, more than almost anybody that I know. And if I didn't understand it and learn how to balance it, I would not be talking to you right now. So this is something that's so important. We can learn how to self-regulate. You know, how can we be such incredibly deep feelers with intense emotions? How do we regulate that in a way that makes us feel like we have balance? That's going to improve our relationships. It's going to improve everything in our lives when we can do that. You know, just being able to, and you can really build like an internal set of resources when you do that. And then it's like having these resources in your pocket with you at all times. You can learn how to do particular types of things that will build more calm, you know, calmness, and being able to relax the body, and being able to learn. This is another thing too, I think, is really important along with self-care for HSPs, is we have to work on being kinder and more supportive to ourselves, increase our level of self-compassion. I think that we are so incredibly compassionate for others, but so many HSPs lack self-compassion. And I know myself, I had to develop that. And when I'm going through something incredibly stressful, if I did that without self-compassion, I would be knocked down completely. But if I have self-compassion, I have resiliency. And this is something, self-love, self-compassion, a lot of us need to build that. And I think that comes from, you know, we're different. We feel different in the world. Many people have had experiences as HSPs where they feel like something's wrong with them because they experience the world different. I mean, I grew up that way too. And it took a lot of work to really shift that and start to develop that self-love, you know, being able to find that balance and live life with intention and with a level of consciousness that you choose what you're doing, you choose how to live, you choose how to really meet your calling in the world.
Yeah, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Yes. Yes. The self-care piece is it's such an intricate piece. And I love the depth that you just went into it right there. And also I love the piece that you brought up around thriving, because that for me has been so key for my own happiness, is to consider, well, what is thriving for me? You know, rather than what thriving looks like. When I first began as an entrepreneur, I just thought thriving was about making as much money as possible and climbing as high as I could. And that was not what thriving meant for me at all. What thriving means for me now is that I have I have freedom in my life, and I am serving in alignment with my highest purpose. Those two things are thriving for me. And obviously also that I'm able to live the lifestyle that I like to live. But the freedom piece for me is absolutely critical. If I'm overdoing it and I'm pushing, no matter how much money I'm making or no matter what the experiences are I'm having, if I don't have time where I can just be myself and just sit in the moment and just enjoy a coffee in the sunlight, looking at a flower and just thinking, wow, the world's amazing. If I don't have those moments, for me, I'm not thriving. So This is what's so important about this self-care piece, is it's understanding that it's linked so deeply to self-compassion, which is what you've just highlighted there, Julie. You know, this self-compassion piece is understanding that we live and we are born to live and thrive in a very particular way. And that's very much based around self-compassion and truly honoring who we are and how we can be of the best service in the world. And that that's certainly been the case for me. It's not easy to do that every day, but there has to be a recognition that it all starts there.
I love that, Willow. Yes, absolutely. I agree with you completely. And I love what Lynn is saying in the community. Said, it took me a few years, but now my bosses know that if they give me some extra days, they will get high quality products from me. I love that, Lynn. Good for you. I mean, that is something that shows up over and over again, is that it actually even shows up in the research that HSPs are rated highest by supervisors. And that in fact, when we can step into a place where we can advocate for our needs, to be able to say, I will function my best when these kinds of needs are met, you know, whether that is taking the commute away, changing your hours, working more from home. I mean, a lot of people are doing that now, but after this, and being able to know, because think about if you're an employer and you need your employees to function at their highest level, you'd want to know, how would they function at their highest level? Only you know that. Inside of you, you know what that would look like, how to have that kind of balance. And then you're absolutely going to be giving back way more if you can get into that place.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, I love that too, Lynn, that you've put that there. That's such a such a great example of what we're talking about here. You know, and to perhaps, you know, in some cases as HSPs, we're a lot more productive if we've got a 4-day work week where we're just focused and we're getting things done, and then we've got 3 days to really, you know, recuperate. But it's helping our supervisors to understand that that's the best way, that's how we can be of the best service. And as you just said there, Julie, you know, supervising are noticing all over the world that HSPs make such amazing employees. So, you know, what's most important for organizations is that they are able to help their staff to feel as comfortable and as honored and acknowledged as possible. That's proven so many times in so many studies that that's when we become the most productive. So, you know, because we are so good at what we do, it's helping our supervisors to understand that and work with us, you know, and to tell them what our needs are and share with them, you know, I can do so much better. Like, you give me higher targets, but just, you know, if you can support me in the way that I work, then that's, I mean, owners of companies and managers, they want to have those conversations with you, and it can be life-changing for a company, you know, to really honor how people can be best supported within an organization.
Yes, absolutely. Even if that means, like, if you're in a company that's like, you always have group meetings and whoever's the loudest is the one that gets heard. I mean, if that's your scenario at your workplace, reach out to your supervisors and say, you know, I have some really good ideas, but I tend to share best one-on-one, or I tend to share best if I can send an email with my ideas. You know, find ways of, we don't have to do it the cookie cutter experience that everybody's doing. In fact, we live outside of that box. And it's important to know that about yourself and to have confidence in yourself about that you can do that. And think about what your goal is. Your goal is to be able to function at your best, which is going to help them in the long run. So it's a win-win. And I want to make a comment about a question that came up from Jill. I really liked this. And Jill says, I love these reminders, Julie, about self-compassion. Any suggestions of how to reinforce that? I have a lot of suggestions about that because that is something I definitely had to work on myself. When I started my own internal work, I had zero self-compassion. Honestly, it was zero. It was terrible. And where I am now, I still get shocked sometimes at how supportive I can be with myself because I have self-compassion. One of the first things that you could do is start to pay attention to your self-talk. That's a big one. How do you talk to yourself when something's gone wrong, when you're having a hard time? Are you being supportive or are you being hard on yourself? That's a big one. HSPs tend to have a lot of terrible self-talk. We are so hard on ourselves and we have such a high level of perfectionism standards, for example. So it's like when we're coming from this place of never being enough and never doing it right, but it's really important to pay attention to that. Are you being a kind and supportive friend to yourself? checking in often. That's another thing. A lot of HSPs have a lot of external focus. They pay attention to everybody else's needs and ignore their own. So I always say it's like every time you go into the bathroom, check in with yourself. How am I doing? What do I need? Those are the two questions you ask yourself. And over time, it's almost like digging this tunnel down inside of yourself where you start to finally pay attention. One of the times that you ask yourself, you're going to realize, wow, actually, I'm not doing that good. Okay, what would I need? Wow, okay, I'm finally asking myself what I need. I mean, that's a powerful thing to do. And also doing, I like to call it inner child work, where you really connect to that inner child inside of you and you become the parent that they need. You become the parent your inner child needs. That's really powerful work. What do you think, Willow?
Yeah, really, really great suggestions there. And I love, Jill, that, you know, you've asked us to kind of look into this a bit more deeply, how to reinforce these, you know, this piece around self-compassion. And yes, you know, I think that's absolutely right. I love that phrase you've got there, you know, how am I doing? What do I need? I mean, that's just, it's such a great place to start. And I find as well, because this has been a big area for me, because I've got a kind of a sort of a peace happening within me where I love to achieve and get things done. I really thrive on achieving, but I've had to understand what achieving really means for me. And it's actually around my soul being able to express itself. Like, that's actually what achieving means for me. But I, in my kind of human self, achieving means just getting things done. And when something gets in my way and I can't move forward, that's typically a warning sign for me, because I then fly into all, my mind just goes mad about what I can do. And typically it turns itself on me and what I should be doing next. And one of the biggest things I've learned is to take a step back from the whole situation and understand that things flow organically and that I'm part of a flow, and just to allow things to settle, take some time, start writing, get some advice if I need to, and understand that everything doesn't have to happen like in the next minute or the next hour, even the next day. So self-compassion, you know, is very much around giving ourselves a little bit of space and support when things go wrong in terms of time. And obviously, you know, what do I need in that moment? Do I need support? And I love the inner child work piece that you've mentioned about there, Julie. But from my experience, it's really around giving space around ourselves and around what's happening, and trusting that actually we're very, very good at finding solutions, and we're very, very good at in knowing what the next step should be in terms of doing our best in the world. So it's kind of, it's almost like learning to just, yes, take a step back and trust that we have these abilities to really get to where we need to be when things are not quite going our way. That's, for me, has been huge around self-compassion.
That's beautiful. I love the thought of flow too. It's so important to live in that flow. I know Bridget said something earlier too about having more energy when she's doing something, you know, that fills her up like that. And I want to make a comment about Becca's question, which is excellent question. Becca says, are you saying we HSP should push ourselves to our limit? And I'm glad you asked that, because definitely not saying that. In fact, Becca, you are an excellent example of someone in our community who is so kind and so compassionate and so caring. And you spread that through the community. And I have found that to be so valuable, such an amazing part of who you are and how you make people feel. And maybe that is your role in the world, you know? So I want to make sure that we're being clear that it doesn't mean pushing ourselves to our limit. It means stepping into that authentic part of who we are in the world and sharing those gifts, showing up as yourself, because you are a kind and caring, compassionate, empathetic human being. And you step into that role, even in our community, by sharing that part of who you are, and you lift people up. I mean, I've felt from some of your posts that you've made or your comments, I've even felt this warm feeling in my heart when I'm reading it. And that is so beautiful. That's a gift. And you are sharing that gift with the world, and you make a difference through that gift. So I hope that kind of clears that up a little bit for you.
Oh, that's lovely. Yes. What a wonderful distinction there, just to, you know, to get clear around this piece. And it's actually a very, very interesting point, because, you know, in terms of pushing ourselves to our limit, that, you know, that that doesn't work for us as HSPs. It's where we get overwhelmed, we get exhausted, and we're no use to anyone, especially to ourselves. However, what is interesting around that piece is learning to evolve and continuously develop the particular gift that we have as HSPs. So the wonderful example that you just gave there, Julie, for your particular gift, Becca, in terms of how you're able to really shine love and support and higher empathy abilities and, you know, your ability to really support people within the community. So what's interesting there is actually how to develop that piece within you. And I feel that we really have, again, a responsibility as HSPs to deeply tune in to what it is that we bring to the world, to the people around us, to our communities, and commit to evolving that throughout our lives, to understand how we can hone it and how we can get better at it. And through that journey, certainly in my experience and the people that I work with, is we get more clear about the people that we're really born to serve. We get more clear about the bits that we're really good at. And as we go along that journey, it becomes so much more self-validating. We really experience our value. We understand our place in the world. And I think that is a path. It's a noble path for us to continuously inquire as to how we can really learn more about what it is that we're really here to do individually.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that being able to take care of ourselves in the right ways that work for us will help us discover what that is. It will help us. And I think there's something to be said too about that. When you are living authentically and you're in balance, you are such a gift to the world. And it can come that those gifts can show up in so many different ways. Just like we said with Becca, that's a beautiful gift to have, to be able to have that kind of energy that you spread in the world. You know, and for somebody else, it might be a CEO in a company that learns how to, you know, that's an HSP that changes the whole dynamics of that company and starts to, I mean, there's amazing leaders out there that are doing big things in the world, like, you know, creating nonprofits and doing things that really help people in the world. And there's so many people involved that make that happen along the way. And being able to take care of ourselves in a way that helps us be our best selves helps really, you know, those gifts emerge in the world. And Jill, I love what you said. Jill says, we need to approach ourselves the same way we would a friend, with care, compassion, and love. That's it. That's it right there. Absolutely. Because imagine if you're walking around in the world being that kind and loving and supportive friend to yourself. How do you think your energy shifts in the world if you're doing that versus you're really hard on yourself, kicking yourself when you're down, terrible negative self-talk, critical of yourself? I mean, we've talked about in previous episodes that even self-criticism can activate alarm bells in the brain that send out all these stress signals. And, you know, and versus if we do the exact opposite and we're practicing self-compassion, we're really supporting the brain. We're releasing positive, good feeling hormones and, you know, things that help us in the world. So we even have science that backs this up. And so being able to really take intentional steps to decide, you know what, this decision, this boundary, this decision, this way that I've advocated for my needs, or saying no when I need to say no, things like that, being able to, I call it take up space in the world where you are valuable, you are important, and being able to take care of yourself like you would someone that you love, you know, talking to yourself like someone you love. These are really powerful things. And if you're coming from a place that, you know, is starting at negative zero, like I did, it's going to take a little longer to get to the point where, you know, it took me a long time to get to the point where I really do feel true self-compassion. I remember it used to be where I used to joke that it was like trying to believe in Santa Claus. It was like, I wanted to, but I just didn't believe it. And now I finally have reached this point where I believe it and I feel it and it's real for me, but it is a constant work in progress. We're all a work in progress, aren't we, Willow?
Absolutely. It really is a work in progress. Yeah. And it's such a great piece there. I love that, you know, treating ourselves how we would treat a friend that we love dearly. That's such a great way of looking at it, you know, is of just caring for ourselves in that way and looking out for ourselves and kind of, you know, tending to our needs and being playful with ourselves and kind of enjoying who we are. Because we, you know, that's such an empowering place to be. The path of self-love is highly empowering. It really is. It doesn't feel like that's what would happen, but actually, when we truly respect ourselves and honor our place in the world, it's hugely self-empowering, because then we really learn the value of who we are, and this relationship forms with ourselves. And I couldn't agree more, Gio. I think that's such an important place to start. And yes, and it does feel like when we start out on this path, it's like, well, I just don't think that's ever going to happen. But it does. You know, it's that old analogy of putting drops of blue dye in the water. You know, like a couple of drops is not going to do anything to the color of the water, but if you keep doing it every day, eventually the water is going to change color. And that is an embedding something into our neurotransmitters that is a part of our daily regime, is looking after ourselves as a friend. And I think that is a great way to look at it.
I like that, the drops of blue water. I like that. That's nice to think about. And I like what you said about value. I mean, that's the thing, is life shifts completely when you value yourself. Like when I walked around in the world and did not value myself, what kind of people do you think I attracted in my life when I was not valuing myself? And was I the strongest version of myself? Absolutely not. But if I could grow that value, then I start to be able to create those healthy boundaries and have healthier relationships and start to be able to go after my dreams and things like that. And value is a big part of that. How much do you value yourself? Really look at that. And is there a way you can increase it? And even if you're listening to this podcast right now, you're somebody that's already taken steps to improve that, because you're listening. You've made that decision to listen and to be involved in this. And that's a step right there. And I want to think about things like this concept of taking turns at the front lines. And front lines can be anything. It can be a person, it could be a doctor, a medical professional, it could be a mental health professional, it could be an educator, it could be a leader, it could be anything. But take turns, meaning we need to rest in between. We can't constantly push all the time. We've got to rest and go into that place of restoring, because that will be part of our balance to be able to do that. And we can take control over the things that we can control and understand what we cannot control. Like we cannot control somebody else, but we can control our experience and how we're going to show up in the world and the boundaries we're going to create and how we're going to value ourselves. And we need to slow down, listen to those internal messages. They're there. They're telling you what it, you know, that inner child is always there trying to tell you what they need. We just need to listen. We need to slow down enough to listen, and really work on being kind to yourself. That concept of loving kindness, it's so healing, and it gives you energy and vibrancy. Have you noticed that, Willow? I mean, I bet you have. It's such an amazing thing to live in the world, finally loving myself, because I cannot believe how different my life was. It almost just feels like exactly the opposite type of living when you can develop that loving kindness.
Yes, absolutely. Loving kindness is just, you know, it's just so key to everything. And I was listening to this great, I love Tony Robbins. I was listening to a piece by him this morning, and he said he realized very early on in his career that the secret to living is giving. And it's about giving to ourselves, about having that level of self-care and self-kindness. And it's also about learning about how we can best give to others in our lives as well. And that's not by people-pleasing and overdoing it and trying to make everything right for people around us. It's truly understanding that we are here with a particular purpose and giving from that place of intention, which hugely increases our value. And increasing our self-value when it comes to self-kindness, it makes it so much more easy to do that when we understand, you know, when we think about how can I be giving more in my life in terms of what's in alignment with me as an HSP. And then the self-compassion really builds around that, because then we start to understand our value in the world. And again, I just think that, you know, the two are very, very linked and really key for us to continuously strive to really work out how we can be of best value. And then, you know, the self-compassion just comes so much more easily.
Yeah. And you know what? The only thing that somebody needs to focus on is taking care of yourself and loving yourself in the right ways, because everything kind of magically happens when you do that. Right, Willow?
It really does. Yeah. Yes, it really does. It's amazing. And I love the piece you said about slowing down. That's absolutely right. It's just, you know, I have to tell myself that on a regular basis. And it's so important. It's like, it's trusting that there is, you know, that the universe is a benevolent place, is here to support us. Yes, there's a lot of horrible things happening, but, you know, we are being supported by life. And if we allow it, just we allow ourselves to tune into that kind of, that greater intuition that we have, the messages are there, as you say. And like, you know, and just being, just understanding that we are an organic creature here as a part of life, and there is a pace to that, and tuning into that is so helpful, especially for us when we have, you know, central nervous systems that need that extra level of care.
Yes, absolutely. I can't believe, like, when I really give myself that restoration work, I cannot believe how creative I feel. It's like all the answers come flooding in, and I feel, and my creative brain just takes over, and that will all come naturally. Everything that you need in your life, you know, whether you're in a place you want to improve your relationships, your career, your personal life, like whatever it is, the very first step is to love and take care of yourselves in the right ways, and everything falls in the right place after that. It's incredible how that works. And oh, it's just such a beautiful conversation. Well, is there anything else you want to make sure that we add to today?
I think that's it, really. I think it, you know, it's tying up these pieces and really tuning into that reframe that as HSPs, we are here for a very specific reason, as light workers, to improve people's lives in the world around us, to raise the vibration on this planet. That's what light worker really means. And, you know, and by owning that responsibility, you know, it just makes the self-care make sense. Yes, that's about making ourselves feel more comfortable, but it's because we're here to do such amazing work. And history, we've seen that throughout history with all the amazing famous HSPs that have come before us. And so I think, you know, just the last piece to kind of, that I'd really like to sort of, you know, sort of embed in is just to link those two things together. There's a reason why you need to be so self-loving for yourself, is because you're of such great value in this world.
That is so beautiful. And I love what you said, raise the vibration on the planet. I truly believe it's going to be HSPs who do that. You know, even if that's someone like Becca who is raised, you're raising that vibration of our community by being this loving human in the world. And there are so many ways to do that. Just the very first step is to find that value, find that balance, really work on loving yourself. Listen to our episodes. We have talked about so many fantastic conversations about how to do that, how to take care of yourself in the world as a sensitive person. Definitely go back and listen to our podcast episodes. I mean, we've had some really amazing conversations and love hearing from you guys. You can go to hsppodcast.com to check out all the episodes, to explore our bios and our websites and everything that we offer HSPs. So I encourage you to do that. We really hope that you share these episodes so that more HSPs can be inspired. We really value when you review the podcast. That's something that really helps people find the podcast itself. And thank you, community, for, you know, our sensitive empowerment community, for being with us every week. I think you just add so much value to our experience doing this together. And I believe together, we absolutely raise the vibration on the planet. I really believe that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Me too. Thank you so much, everyone, for being here with us. It's so wonderful having you as part of the episodes. And thank you to everyone that's out there supporting our podcast at the moment. It means so much. Keep spreading the word, and we'll see you again soon.
Yes, take really good care of your beautiful, sensitive selves out there, and we will see you soon. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
You can take my free sensitivity quiz and find all my HSP tools and resources at sensitiveconnection.com.
To register for the next masterclass on how to make your shift into high sensory intelligence, visit inluminance.com. Please leave us a voice message if you have a question or comment for us to be included in a future episode. Just click the voice message button in the show notes, introduce yourself, tell us where you're from, and record up to 60 seconds. We love hearing from you.
And please share this episode to help others. And take extra good care of yourself out there. Bye-bye, everybody.